avait dit qu'ils arrêtent.
Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies and compassions toward us. Thank you for your blessings that we have received. Thank you for the helps you send into our lives and situations. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you, Lord, for defending us against the attacks of the enemy. Thank you for honoring your name in our lives. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the answers we got after we prayed. Thank you for solving difficult problems in our lives. Thank you for giving us breakthroughs on every side. Thank you, Father. Thank you for eliminating those negative situations that were going to put us to shame and disgrace. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We are grateful for how you always bless us, touch us, and meet our needs through this Healing Streams program. And we also have a strong assurance that here this morning you will meet our needs. You will meet us at the point of our needs. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. I ask that you take over this program even right now. Let your Holy Spirit take over this meeting right now in the name of Jesus. Let your presence and power be established in this place now in the name of Jesus. Do great things in our lives. Thank you, Father, for I know you're going to bless us mightily. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We're going to continue with our teaching, the one we have been doing from Isaiah 53. We need to continue with the teaching, then after that we are going to pray. Open your Bibles to Isaiah 53, verse 10. Isaiah 53, verse 10. Desire. It's the third. Verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. Isaiah 53, verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Praise the Lord. So we are going to be looking at the topic that says understanding Jesus in Isaiah 53. But he understanding Jesus in Isaiah 53, part 8. From that particular verse that I have just read, that is verse 10 of Isaiah 53, we're going to be looking at four points. From that verse, I'll be talking on 4 points. Yeah, but before that, you can see from this verse how God Himself sacrificed Jesus in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and that whosoever shall believe in Him, or whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life. So the love that God has for humanity, the love that God has or had for mankind, moved him to sacrifice Jesus on the cross. That is a great love indeed. A great love indeed. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Yeah, so it was not the Roman soldiers that killed Jesus. They were only helping God to sacrifice him. It was not the governor Pilate, or Pontius Pilate, that killed Jesus. It was not the people that killed Jesus. They were only being used by God to kill him. It was God himself that offered him as a sacrifice for the sins of the world to be taken away. Though he did that in a mysterious way. Yeah, because the enemy didn't know God was using them to accomplish a great purpose. Yeah, Satan didn't know. Even the principalities, they didn't know that God was using them to accomplish that purpose. Even Judas Iscariot, the one that betrayed Jesus, he didn't know that he was fulfilling the prophecy. So God made sure that Jesus was crucified, because that is the only way human beings can be saved. Even though that is not a good thing that should happen to Jesus, but there is no other way for us to be saved except that Jesus goes to the cross. Even though that should not happen, but God made sure it happened. Because of the souls of men that needed to be saved. And thank God that happened. Otherwise, we will not be here today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for sacrificing Jesus. Because of his love for mankind. So my point is that if God had not handed him over to be killed by sinners, they can never lay a finger on him They can never touch him. They won't be able to do that. They won't be able to arrest him or crucify him. So that tells you that God himself offered Jesus to be crucified, not the people in those days, not the government of those days. And this also shows that we as children of God can also be offered by God as an offering. That God can intentionally put you through very unpleasant circumstances. Yeah, because he has a plan or he has a purpose. So now we're going to be looking at the 4 points on the this topic. Once again, the topic says understanding Jesus in Isaiah 53, part 8. Point number one says he was bruised by God. But Jesus was bruised by God. So which means God himself made sure he was bruised. What does it mean to be bruised? A New Living Translation used the word crushed. Another word would be wounded or something like a serpent bite. Yeah, or a dog bite. A serpent bite, like that is when someone is beaten by a serpent, or beaten by a dog, or wounded. Yeah, so that is what it means to be bruised. But Jesus was bruised by God. And it wasn't only his body that was bruised. Even his heart was bruised. Now, we'll still look at that. So he was bruised by God. Remember there's a place in the Bible, a verse that says, if you break the hedge, the serpent will bite. If you break the hedge, the serpent will bite. So there is a hedge of God around Jesus. So God had to remove that hedge, or you can call it a wall of protection. If you like, you can call it a wall of protection, a wall of defense around Jesus. So God had to take away that wall to allow the people arrest him and views him, and view their intentions on him. Yeah, it was God that bruised him. Let us look at John chapter 19. John 19, verse 9 to 11. John 19, verse 9 to 11. And went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Verse 11, Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Praise the Lord. Jesus answered him and said, You wouldn't have any power over me at all, except that God has given you this power to, even for you to say that you can have me crucified or have me released. He said, You wouldn't have this power at all. But you have it now because God gave you the power to do whatever you want with me. So he was telling him that the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, that handed him over to Pilate. He said, those are the people that have greater sin. Yeah. So in other words, Pilate had more sin in, if I can put it that way. Yeah, the sin of Pilate for handing Jesus over to be crucified is not as great as the people that told him he had to crucify Jesus. The people that brought Jesus to him for crucifixion. The sins of those people is greater than the one that gave the order that he should be crucified. Yeah, so Jesus was telling him that, well, you don't have much sin in this case, but the ones who gave me to you, they have the greater sin. The wicked religious leaders, the wicked Jewish leaders, they are the ones that have the greater sin. Yeah. But all of them were guilty. Both Pilate and the Jewish leaders, all of them were guilty for sentencing a righteous man to be healed, to be unjustly healed. Yeah, so my point is that there are many things that can never happen in this world except God allows them. Especially to God's children. There are many things that cannot happen to God's children on earth except God allows it to happen. Or maybe those people that we call God's children, maybe they backslided and turned away from God. Then certain things might happen to them. But if you walk with God, I mean, if you as a Christian really walk with God in righteousness, in obedience, in truth, there are things that can never happen to you here on earth except God allows it. Now, nothing will be able to touch you. In fact, even in the Old Testament, we saw that Satan had to go to God and take permission before he could attack Job. He had to go to God and take permission to touch Job. So there are certain things that are happening in your life that is caused by you, God did not approve those things. You approved those things. You gave yourself to Satan to do those things on you because you failed to walk with God the way you should. A lot of terrible things happened to the Israelites because they failed to walk with God and they should. So God turned his back on them and allowed their enemies to attack them and to capture them, to enslave them. Yeah. So there are things that God will allow to happen to us as Christians because there is a glory that he wants to reveal, just as we saw in the case of Jesus. Eventually, the one that was crucified and buried rose again. There is glory. There is power. Yeah, so there are things that God allowed to happen to Christians because he wants to reveal his great power. Because he wants to reveal his great glory. But today, I can see that many Christians are going through things that God is not the one that put them into such things. They themselves put themselves into such things because of the kind of life they have chosen to live. Yeah. Let's say, for instance, you have been so prayerless for some weeks. or for some months, you no longer pray the way you should, the way you do pray, or the way you should pray, and then afflictions came from the enemy. Came from the enemy. Who should you blame? The enemy or yourself? Of course, it is yourself, because you know if you had been prayerful, the enemy would not have that power to cause afflictions in your life and to oppress you. Yeah. But some foolish Christians, they would start blaming God for their own fault. They would start saying, why is God allowing this to happen to me? When they know they caused those things to happen to them, they know or they knew that it was their careless living, lazy lifestyle, failure to be prayerful, failure to be obedient, failure to deny themselves, to die to the flesh, to crucify the works of the flesh. So when they knew that it is failure to do their own part that led them into such darkness or such captivities, yet they would open their mouths and they would be saying, God, why did you allow this to happen to me? Instead of them saying, why did I allow this to happen to me? They are saying, God, why did you allow this to happen to me? I pray that God will give you wisdom in Jesus' name. And that God will give those type of Christians wisdom to stop being foolish. In Jesus' name. Let us move to point number two. God put him to grief. God put him to grief, according to Isaiah 53 verse 10. And let us read it again. Isaiah 53 verse 10. Yet it reads, the Lord to grieve him. He hath put him to grief. So God put him to grief. What does it mean for someone to be put to grief? Usually grief is one of the stages a man goes through when you know that you're about to die, and you know that there is no escape from the death. Yeah. Of course, there is another type of grief that happens to people who lost their loved ones. or like how a parent would feel when they lost a child, or how an husband or wife would feel when they lose their spouse. Yeah, but I want you to, you should know that even the person that died also would go through a grief, a process of grief before dying. And usually when someone is about to die, they always know, I don't know, there's usually a brief period of grief, especially when they knew that there is no coming out of this thing. It is obvious I am going to die. Yeah, that knowledge that there is no escape from this, I definitely would die. So that moment is called grief. Yeah. Some people, they have a long period of grief before they eventually die. Some, they have a very short period of grief, like someone that is being shot with a gun in the chest or on the head. Yeah, that person could have just few seconds of grief, because it's not like they would die instantly. Though they might stop breathing instantly, or the heart might stop beating after the bullet enters into their bodies, but they don't actually die instantly. There's always a brief period of grief, maybe few seconds in some cases, or few minutes. Yeah, there's always a very short period of grief, because the person will be seeing his spirit leaving the body gradually, and the person will feel like, oh, is this how I'm going to die? Oh, I'm going to die. And in some cases, the period of grief is usually longer, like someone that has a terminal disease, a terminal illness, like all these diabetes, cancer, hypertension, like those dead stages of cancer, diabetes, hypertension, or hepatitis, all those terminal diseases, all problem with the kidney, the kidney failure, heart failure, liver failure. Yeah, all those terminal diseases where the people already knows that they might not survive, because doctor already told them that you don't have much days to live, because the disease could not be cured. Yeah, so that period is called grief. When you know that you are going to die, and you know that there is no coming out of it, that period is a period of grief. Yeah, and some of us, we know what it means to go through that. Yeah, because there are people who have encountered near-death situations, like myself. Yeah, near-death situations. Or where you know you are going to die. Yeah, so Jesus also found himself in this kind of situation. Yeah, but it was God that put him to grief. Now let us look at Matthew 26, verse 36 to 39. The reason why we are looking at Jesus, or we are studying about Jesus in this way, is for you to understand how much he went through because of his love for you. If you don't understand that love, you probably would not you would not appreciate what he did, and you won't be able to reciprocate the love if you don't really understand how much he had to go through because he cares so much for you. Matthew 26. Matthew 26:36. It is 6 to 39. And then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. You can see that is grief. He said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Verse 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. So his soul was sorrowful and heavy because he knew he was going to die. He knew what was going to happen to him. But yet, even at that point, he said, Father, not my will, but yours. Let your will be done. If this is your will, let it be done. Now, there are some things we can learn from this. Because everything Jesus went through was an example, and is an example for us to follow. Number one, Jesus was a man that would free about everything going on in his life, even about his own personal struggle. At that point, he was struggling about something we probably don't fully understand. He was really struggling with something in his heart. Though he knew he came to the world to die, but maybe he felt it was too early to die. Yeah, so maybe he was trying to buy some time, buy himself some time from God. So there was a struggle in his soul. We don't know exactly what that struggle is. Yeah. There was a struggle in his soul. And we could think of things like maybe he wanted to buy some time from God. Because he himself knew that he had to die. But maybe he felt it was too early to die. Yeah. And then maybe he felt like the disciples might not be able to continue with the work if he leaves them at that time. Yeah, so we don't know the struggle, but there was a struggle in his soul. And he went into the place of prayer. Yeah, and eventually if you read that passage further, God strengthened him. After he prayed, he was strengthened. The Bible says an angel appeared to him to strengthen him. I want to see if it was mentioned here. Okay, it was mentioned in another place. Yeah. But actually, an angel appeared. So maybe a Mark or Luke. Yeah, in another place. The Bible told us that an angel appeared after he prayed this prayer. Saying, Father, not my will, but yours be done. The angel of the Lord appeared and strengthened him. Yeah, so we can learn that whatever struggle we feel in our souls, especially the struggle between your own will and God's will, what we should do is to pray for strength to do God's will. That should take you to the place of prayer. Yeah, when you feel a struggle in you, you know the right thing to do, or you know the will of God, but there's another part of you that don't want to do the will of God. Or that feels like it's not yet time to do the will of God. You should take it to the place of prayer and say, God, help me. It is your will I want to do. Help me. And God will help you. Everyone that prayed that prayer, God always helped them. Yeah, but because this generation, they love themselves more than God. They care about their own will more than God's will. Some people in this generation, they don't pray those prayers. Yeah, they don't pray those prayers. I pray that you will pray those kind of prayers. In the name of Jesus. So when you feel in your soul that there is something there that don't want you to do the will of God, that there's a contention, there's a struggle between your own will and God's will, what you should do is to pray. You are supposed to go into prayer and say, God, not my will, but your will. Please help me to do your will. Strengthen me to do your will. I pray that you will be wise so that you will, so that you will not perish in Jesus' name. Let's look at the third point. Point number three. In soul was offered as an offering for the sins of the world. His soul was offered as an offering for the sins of the world. Yeah, we can see that in Isaiah 53 verse 10. Let us read it again. Isaiah 53 verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Yeah, you can see that God offered his soul as an offering for sin. God offered the soul of Jesus as an offering for sin. Now, let us look at John chapter 1, verse 29. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. So he was offered as a lamb. A spotless lamb. Blameless lamb. A holy lamb. A pure lamb of God. He was offered so that he can take away our sins. Before Jesus came, the sins of human beings would not be taken away. Because the blood of animals were not strong enough to take away human sins. You know, in those days, they offered animals for their sins. They call it sin offering, guilt offering. Yeah. But those things could only cover the sins temporarily, because eventually the people would sin again. Yeah. So imagine you offered an animal for your sin, and then the following week you sin again. So that sacrifice is a waste. And another thing is, those sacrifices in the Old Testament days does not take away sins. It only covers those sins. It makes God not to see those things when He looks at them. So those blood of the animals will just cover the sin, but it doesn't take it away. And it covers it temporarily, because eventually the people would sin again and again and again. Yeah, the people would keep on sinning. Yeah, but the sacrifice of Jesus was able to take away sin, uproot sin completely. Yeah. It was able to forgive sins and also take away sin. Praise the Lord. So through what Jesus did on the cross, we can be free from sin. We can be free from sin. We can be free from sin. Hallelujah. What can we learn from here? We can learn that we should no longer embrace the lifestyle of sin, because someone was killed for that purpose. I don't know if I get to my point. You should no longer embrace sinful lifestyle. You should no longer go into sin because someone was killed for that purpose. So if we ignore the seriousness of this sacrifice of Jesus, or ignore the purpose of this sacrifice, and still deliberately go into sin, we are the most wicked person in the world. Yeah, and we will not go unpunished. It is a terrible thing to deliberately go into sin after that Jesus paid the price for your sin, to deliberately go back into sinning after you have repented of the sin and have surrendered your life to Jesus, after you have been forgiven and you have been washed in the blood of Jesus, after you have received grace, they, you know, return back into such sinful lifestyle, it is a disaster to your soul. And it's going to bring terrible judgment from God. And so we should fear God. We should not take lightly the sacrifice of Jesus. We should not take lightly the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. We should honor that sacrifice. We should respect that sacrifice by making sure that we live a holy life. There are some people who made certain decisions for their lives because when one of their parents were going to die, the parents gave in his last words, and the parents said, make sure you never do this again. I mean, why the parent was going to give up the ghost, why the parent was going to die, the parent gave last words and saying, this is what I want you to do. Make sure this is taken care of. Make sure that is taken care of. And then the parent died. Now we have some people who would take the last words of their father or mother that died very seriously. And they would say, this is what my father told me when he was going to die. And I have to live all my life to do this thing that he said when he was going to die. So the same thing applied to the death of Jesus. So we should always remember why he died and what he demands from us. Yeah, we should always remember that his soul was offered because of our sins, so that we will no longer be enslaved by sin. Yeah, so that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So we should always remember that. And that should make you to hate sin. That should make you to run away from sin, to separate yourself from sin. Yeah. I pray the Lord will help you. In the name of Jesus. If we know these things and still deliberately sin against him, after you have known the truth, and after you have received the grace, every child of God have received grace to not commit sin. Every child of God have received grace to overcome temptations and sin. God does not demand from us what he knows we don't have the grace to do. But God what he knows that he has not given you the grace to do. But we are making it look like we don't have grace to live a holy life. We are insulting the grace of God. We are despising the grace of God, the grace of God. We are making it look like we don't have the grace to live a life that is pleasing in the sight of God. And that alone is evil. Yeah. That is what today's Christians are doing. They will say, may God help me. That's what they will say. Oh God, help me. But they are lying. God has helped them. And yet they are saying, gosh, may God help me so that I stop doing this. But they know it's a lie. You know it's a lie. You know that God has helped you to stop doing that. But yet you are still saying, let God help me. Is that not hypocrisy? So we have the grace to not sin. But yet, we are acting as if we don't have the grace. That alone is evil. We are deliberately going into temptations. You know, temptation is supposed to come to you accidentally. Yeah, temptation is not something that you should bring upon yourself or walk into. It's not something you walk into. It's supposed to happen accidentally. That is, you don't know it's going to come. It just came. And that was why Jesus said we should pray and say, God, lead us not into temptations. But the Christians of today, they are the ones leading themselves into temptations. The Christians of today are the ones bringing temptations into their lives. They keep going near the things that would lead them to sin. So when you keep going near things that will pull you into sin, then you are the one that is leading yourself into temptations. I mean, when you do that, the grace of God will step aside from your life. And then you will fall into the temptation. Because you intentionally went into the temptation. So which means you really want to sin against God. So, and the grace of God doesn't work for people like that. The grace to live holy cannot be found in the lives of people who really want to sin. People who really love sin. Yeah. I pray that you will be wise so that you will not perish. The last point before we pray, point number 4, Jesus wants to live and manifest through you. Jesus wants to live through you, and he wants to manifest through you. And let us because of time, I may not read that verse, Isaiah 53 verse 10 again. But you can see in that verse that it says Jesus would prolong his days. Yeah. It says the pleasures of God would prosper in his hand. It says that he shall see his seed. Yeah, all that is showing that Jesus continues to live on even after he was crucified. Even after he was crucified, he still continues to live on, or he wants to live on through you. Yeah, we know that he rose from the grave. He rose from the grave on the third day. He rose from the grave on the third day, and then he ascended to heaven. Yeah, but according to the account in Isaiah, we can see that Jesus, the prophecy said Jesus would have many descendants, and Jesus would prolong his days on earth. You know, his days was cut short because he was not allowed to live long before before he was killed. I mean, they did not allow him to live long. They killed him at a young age. But the prophecy in Isaiah says that he prolonged his days. So which mean that even after they crucified him, he continued to live on earth. Not only that, he had many descendants. So the interpretation of that prophecy is that Jesus is still living through his own people, his own children, his own disciples, through you and I. Jesus is still living on earth. He's prolonging his days. He's still living on earth. Remember, he said somewhere in the scriptures, he said, this generation shall not end until the Son of Man is glorified, or I forgot how that verse put it. Until his kingdom would come. Jesus was telling those people that this generation will not end. He was referring to the generation of the believers, the disciples that were with him physically as at that time when he was on earth, when he was here as a man. He was saying that generation would not end before the end will come, before his kingdom would come. So I begin to think, as that generation has it not ended? So what does it mean that a generation would not end? Oh, I don't know if you have read that place in your Bible. He said that a generation would not end. But if we look at it, has that generation not ended? Those people, they have died. So when people die, their generation has ended. Yeah. Generation ends with death of the people. in those the people within that time. Yeah, but Jesus said that the generation would not end. So the only explanation to that is the fact that Jesus is still living through, he's still living through us. Yeah, he's still living through Christians. He's manifesting himself through Christians. So a lot of things that is going on earth through children of God, servants of God, men of God, is not those men of God, is not those children of God doing those wonderful and beautiful things or doing those mighty miracles. It is Jesus living through them. Jesus manifesting through them. So that generation has actually not come to an end. That time is still alive. That period Jesus was walking through the land of Israel, performing miracles, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, teaching about God's kingdom. That moment is still alive till now. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So Jesus has not left this world, if I can put it that way. Jesus is still on earth. That is what I'm saying. Is manifesting through the Holy Spirit. Jesus is still on earth, and he is operating and manifesting through the Holy Spirit. Yeah, he's prolonging his days on earth. Even though his life was cut short, he died untimely death, but yet he continue to live on through you and I. So the point stays, Jesus wants to live and manifest through you. So it's all about you allowing him to live his life through you. It's all about you allowing him to manifest to the world through you. There was some time ago, I was concerned about why some people get healed and some people don't get healed. Why is it that we pray for some people, they get healed almost immediately, and then we pray for some other people, they don't get healed? And I was also concerned about why some men of God are able to perform some miracles, but some other men of God seems to not be able to perform such miracles. Yeah, so I was asking the Lord what exactly is the reason for that. Yeah, and I remember he was telling me that everything is Jesus. Yeah, that is not about the people. Well, it's all about Jesus. Now, I'm going to explain. He was saying that if a man of God pray for someone that is sick, and the person got healed, that it is not the man of God, it is Jesus that does it. Yeah. And that, and, you know, I went further to say, what about people that they say it was after they fasted and prayed? You know, it was a conversation. I was having a conversation with the Lord. So I said, what about people that they said they fasted and prayed for certain days or months before they got the power from God to work miracles? He said, even that fasting and prayer is also Jesus. So he said it would be difficult for them to fast and pray that long if Jesus did not give them the grace to do that. Yeah. So he was showing me that everything is about Jesus. So if you are able to pray for a long time, you see your miracle happen, it's Jesus that enabled you to pray like that. It is not by your strength. Yeah. So, and then he was telling me that if some people get healed, now, and some don't get healed, he said it's still Jesus doing that. That it's still Jesus making sure that some get healed and some don't get healed. You know, if I get my point. So he said it's still Jesus doing all of those things. He said those that have faith for healing, and when they manifested the faith or demonstrated the faith, they got the healing. He said it is Jesus that gave them the faith, they demonstrated, and it is Jesus that also healed them after they demonstrated the faith. So that place in the Bible that says it is God walking in us, both to do good things, to desire good things. So that verse is true. That God is walking in us, fulfilling His pleasures in us. So Jesus is the one doing everything. Yeah. So when I got that explanation, I now have more understanding about the operations of God. Because up to now, some ministers of God are still confused. Yeah, they feel like, why is it that this power God have given me will work in certain situations and not work in another situation? Will work on some people and not work on some people? They don't know that it is not about them, that it is Jesus doing all of those things. So what they should do is to go to Jesus and get information about the operations of the Holy Spirit in their lives or in their ministry. So that you understand why Jesus is not doing certain things. And they should seek Jesus to understand what and what should be done. Yeah, instead of them getting confused and frustrated. So my point is that Jesus is still living through us. And if He's not living through you, He wants to do that. So the question is, will you let Him live His life through you? Yeah. He wants to do great things through you, just as he did. In those days, he walked physically on earth. He's still on earth, but he wants to manifest through us. He's still physically on earth. Yeah, but he wants to manifest through us. Yeah, so we are in that dispensation of the manifestation of Jesus. We are in the time that Jesus is manifesting to the world through the Holy Ghost. Yeah. And this dispensation is far more powerful than when it was only Jesus doing all these miracles. Now, I mean, what I mean by only Jesus, it was only him that have to pray for the sick. And of course, he also gave the power to some of his disciples. And some other people were using his name, even after that time, to cast out devils. But my point is that this dispensation is more powerful than that time, because even after that time, he was limited to the land of Israel alone. Jesus could not do anything outside the land of Israel. But now Jesus is moving everywhere all over the world. And he's doing great things. Yeah, and he wants to manifest through everyone. And it's not only him. The angels are working together with him. The Holy Ghost is working together with him. And God the Father is also working. So the whole of heaven, they want to manifest Jesus to the world. The whole of heaven, the kingdom of God are walking on earth to manifest Jesus to the world. And God wants to do that through you. God wants your life to manifest Jesus. In Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, Apostle Paul was saying that he has been crucified with Christ, though he's alive, but he's not him. That the life he's living is by faith of Jesus, or by trusting in Jesus. So this is a man like you and I. He said he's no longer alive. That he is no longer alive. That his life is equal to the life of Jesus. So that his life is the life of Christ coming out of him. So Jesus wants his life to come out of you. That is, he wants you to live his life, not your own life. And then he wants you to manifest him, to manifest his power. Yeah, I pray that you will grow in your walk with God to that point. That point is the highest level anyone can attain in God. That is the highest level anyone can attain in God. That level where it is no longer you, it is now him. When you think, it's him thinking. When you speak, it's him speaking. Everything you do, it's him. That is the highest point in spiritual growth. anyone that have reached that point actually then change the world. Yeah, because the issue we have today with Christians is failure to come to that point where it is no longer them, but Jesus. If you can come to that point, there's no limit to what God can do with you here on earth. I pray that you will really come to that point in the name of Jesus. So we are going to pray. We're going to pray some prayer points before I will pray for you and pray on your water. Firstly, I want you to pray. You're going to say, Father, in whatever way I have despised God's grace, in whatsoever way I have insulted God's grace by deliberately spending against you, say, Lord, I repent today. Forgive me. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Say, Lord, in whatsoever way I have insulted your grace, despised your grace by deliberately going into sin, by intentionally going into sin, the Lord, forgive me. I repent now. Forgive me. You cannot insult His grace and still want to receive help from that grace. It doesn't work like that. Say, Father, forgive me for despising your grace, for insulting your grace, for abusing your grace by deliberately going into sin. Forgive me, Lord, I repent. In the name of Jesus, cleanse me from my filthiness. Cleanse me from my unrighteousness. Cleanse me from my pollution. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. You are still going to pray. We talked about things that are going on in our lives that is not from God, that is from us. It's not even about the devil. It's about us. Yeah, for devil, we have no power over you if you have not given him that power. Devil has no power over Christians I believe you know that. He has power over unbelievers. But he doesn't have power over Christians. If he does have, it is those Christians that give him the power. Yeah. So maybe you have given the devil power over your life. Now, because he doesn't have power over you. You're going to pray. You're going to say, Father, deliver me from those things that I am doing that is giving power to the enemy. To enslave me and to oppress me. Say, Father, deliver me from those things I do on a daily basis. Those things I do with my mind. Those things I do with my body or to my body. That is giving power to the enemy to enslave me, to oppress me. Open your mouth and talk to God like that. Say, Father, deliver me from those things. If God is not the one causing the troubles, the problems, the sufferings, the afflictions in your life, then the only person that is causing that is you, not the devil, not witchcraft. It is you. It is either something you are doing or something you are not doing. It's either of those two. Pray. It is either something you are doing or something you are not doing. Say, Father, deliver me from those things I do that is giving power to the enemy to rule over my life, to enslave my life, to oppress my life. The Lord, deliver me now. Deliver me now. Deliver me now. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Yeah, initially when we started this program, this Healing Streams program, I said it's going to be for 1 hour. But I realized that that 1 hour is too small. Yeah, because healing and deliverance is a process. Yeah, it's a process. It's not something that just happened very fast. Even though you can experience healing very fast, but that doesn't mean the healing, that doesn't mean that is the end of your healing. So healing and deliverance is a continuous thing. I mean, it's continuous. Yeah. Though you might experience some on your body very fast, I will call it instant healing. But that doesn't mean there are still not areas of your life that still need healing and deliverance. I don't know if I get to my point. So there are still many places in us that is still going through healing and deliverances. Yeah, in fact, we heal every day. Yeah, because we get bruised, wounded every day, or we get tempted, we get attacked every day. So we get delivered also every day. We get healed every day. Yeah, if you are still in this earthly body, then your healing and deliverance is every day. I mean, it has to happen every day. You can't say that you're in a state of complete healing. No. That will only happen after we leave this world. So in as much as you are still in this flesh, you are still healing. Yeah, you have to continue to heal. Because this flesh is an agent of death. The Bible says to be carnally minded is death. Yeah, so every time you are in the flesh, you die. Yeah. So I decided to extend it. So that was why the teachings I extended the teaching. I take time. Yeah, because if you don't understand your problem, you might not be able to get the solutions. So what really set us free is the truth. Yeah, it's not even the fasting and prayers. The fasting and prayers is secondary. What really sets humans free is the truth. And most especially, obeying that truth. And Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The more the truth you know, the more the freedom you get. Yeah. So next time you join, know that we're going to take time. Yeah. So this is the last prayer point. I mentioned that Jesus wants to live his life through you. Jesus wants to live his life through you. You're going to pray. You're going to say, "Lord Jesus, I hand over my life to you. I hand over my spirit, soul, and body to you. Live your life through me. Manifest yourself to the world through me." Open your mouth and pray like that. Pray. The more Jesus live his life through you, the more you get healed and delivered. Because Jesus cannot be sick. Jesus himself is embodiment of healing and health. So if we let him live through us, we heal in the process. We get delivered in the process. The more you let him live his life through you, the more you give up your own life and let him live his life through you, the more you are healed, the more you are delivered. So, Lord Jesus, I want you to live your life through me. This is my life. Take it. Live through me. Manifest through me. Speak through me. In the name of Jesus. I hope you are praying that prayer from your heart. Yeah, that is the best thing that can happen to you. That you are no longer alive. And that the only person people see when they see you is Jesus. And that the only person they see when they have conversation with you is Jesus. That is the best life to live. So Holy Spirit, take me to that place where it is no longer me that exists, but Jesus living his life through me. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I'm going to pray for you now. And also pray your water. Heavenly Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for your blessings that is following us. Thank you for your strength that is upholding us. Thank you for your grace that is sufficient for us. Thank you, Lord, for the light we see. For we are not like those who are in darkness. You have caused your light to shine in our hearts, in our souls, and in our minds. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for revealing Jesus to us through the book of Isaiah 53. Thank you for revealing Jesus to us through several places in the Bible, in the scriptures. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that you will not only reveal Jesus theoretically to your people. Lord, I ask that you reveal Jesus to them practically. In the name of Jesus. I ask, O Lord, that you reveal Jesus to everyone in this place. Face to face. Practically. Reveal Jesus to everyone in Jesus' name. And not only that, Father, I ask that you reveal Jesus in them. Let Jesus manifest in them from within them right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for you that in the midst of your darkness, in the midst of your sufferings and slavery and afflictions, Jesus shall appear. Jesus shall manifest. Jesus shall appear now in Jesus' name. And as he appears, your chains shall be broken in pieces. Your darkness shall run. Your sicknesses shall disappear in the name of Jesus. And for you, that only the will of God shall prevail in your life henceforth. The will of the enemy shall not be able to prevail. In the name of Jesus, the things that are going on in your life that is not allowed or caused by God, I put an end to them right now. In the name of Jesus, I put an end to them all. In the name of Jesus, I pray on your water that the hand of God touch that water right now. In the name of Jesus. Through this water, the Lord shall perform miracles in your life. In the name of Jesus, there shall be healing miracles through this water in your body system, in your soul and spirit, and there shall be deliverance miracles through this same water that the Lord has touched. In the name of Jesus, there shall be revival miracle, transformation miracle right inside you through this water that the Lord has touched right now. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen.